It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million in a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house show.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
All right, well, we're starting a little disheveled here because I don't even have a chair right now, Sue Thomas. And you and Jane are like gossiping like, you know, old ladies at a bingo hall
about
or something
you.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all about
and,
you.
And, you know, there are things in the works. That's all you need
Mark,
to know.
I'll give you my chair.
Thank you, Nick Schwer. Let's introduce the panel. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. We just got into the studio late, and then Nick and I were talking about dogs, important things that
like
we
dogs.
Had to share. You know, maybe the most stunning thing this afternoon is Jeff Smith is on time.
Wow.
Can I just say that?
He's getting it from all sides. I'm starting to feel like Jeff Smith is a victim.
Jeff and Jane are matching today.
We are.
Well, just good luck.
Jeff, nice I think what thing. He meant to say was thanks for coming in.
Right. Thanks for volunteering.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, we got you a chair, Mark.
All right.
Not the right one.
No, but
I don't understand. This is a great way to start the show, but what in the hell happens to the stupid chairs from this studio?
Jane has your chair. You're sitting on that one.
How did I get your chair?
Just because
your chair was there.
Okay, you're going to have to switch out with me, Jane, because I have
now?
A comfortability factor. At least at the first
round
break.
Usable chairs today.
I usually sit in the catapult.
Tell the producers who are scrambling that Jane has my chair.
It's okay. Everything's
what a
fine.
Way to start off the roundtable this afternoon. My goodness, I apologize for that. Let's get right to it. Jane is here. Welcome back. You were off last week. How are you?
Good. Family wedding, and it was lovely.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
I'm glad that you're back. We have a very important show today as we take people into the Labor Day weekend. Former State Senator Jeff Smith is not only here, but on time this afternoon.
Love
How
it.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm
Abused.
Good. Good to see you. And State Senator Nick Schwer. I haven't seen you in a while, Nick, so it's good to see you as well.
Likewise.
Let me start with you, Nick, and the interview last night, which was almost as awkward as the way that I started the show here this afternoon.
But this was entertaining. The way that we started today was at least fun.
Well, here I was about 24 hours ago. We were doing the show yesterday, and CNN started kind of leaking these clips. And the first one was just so baffling because, and it ended up being, I guess, the first question that Dana Bash asked her last night, which was, you know, what would you do on your first day in office? And she sort of meandered all over the place. It was a little confusing, but that's the Kamala we know and love, isn't it?
Well, she's been in office for 3.5 years. She's been part of this administration. And, you know, you've got these people on social media saying that Republicans are trying to tether her to this administration. She's part of it. It's the Biden-Harris administration.
I know. I love that. That was a Politico headline trying to tether her. Wait a second. She's the vice president. Yes,
well,
exactly.
Well, when they're not changing headlines, the crazy media out there is actually trying to defend Kamala being in office for 3.5 years and not doing a single thing. So, you know, all of these different things, whether it's the price gouging or she says price gauging, getting online with the border wall now or the no tax on tips. None of this stuff has been implemented for 3.5 years. So anything that she's coming up with, I have no faith that that is going to save this this economy.
Well, what I think happened last night is I think Kamala did a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to her supporters on the far left and said, look, I got you. When we win this thing, we're going right back to where our policies were because she said her values haven't changed. Now, I did this. I actually watched this interview, Jeff, in two different ways. I'm being serious here. I listened to the clips last night. I was watching the Mizzou game. So a lot of the clips were being fed out on Twitter, and I thought a lot of them were awkward. Now, I rewatched it this morning. I watched the entire interview, you know, from start to finish. I think it did play a little differently when you watch the whole thing. And and I can't believe I'm even saying this, but she didn't come off as awful as she does if you isolate the clips. But I don't know, in
no
the
one
end,
does
it, well, right, that's probably
true. Well,
and
it's been highly edited. I mean, it was pre-recorded, and only we got 18 minutes. Let's see the entire tape.
I think it was 26 minutes altogether. But my point is that in the end, this isn't probably too disastrous for Kamala Harris. The people that didn't like it, the people that are complaining and thought it was awkward like me, we're not voting for Kamala Harris anyway. The rest of the headlines is, well, she just did okay. She got a passing grade. So what's your takeaway?
So three things real quick. So I'll try to go quickly. Number one, for my friend Nick, you're right. She does mispronounce it. It is price gouging and not price gauging. But you mispronounce her name. So it, like almost 99% of right wing people
Kamala.
Do.
It's is that right?
Kamala.
Kamala. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Remember she did the little lesson?
She says
with
it
all
both
the kids
ways,
at the
doesn't
convention.
She?
Oh, yeah. She's
she
had it for
all
so
the, like,
many
fourth
years.
Graders,
like
she
the
said,
WWF wrestler.
Just say, comma, like a comma in
comma,
a sentence,
law.
And then say, la.
Oh, that's an easy one. I
that's
like that.
Yeah,
thank you
so,
for helping us
you know,
out with
I'm,
that.
It's not Kami La.
I do.
That's a, you know, looking at her positions, I thought it was Kami La.
Yeah. No. That's a good one, sure. I like that.
I actually think it's, I think comma chameleon would have been better. I thought Trump was going to go there, but he didn't. But anyway.
Kami chameleon.
Let me, two other things super quick. You said, but, you know, that was her administration. We all know, I think, FDR's first vice president, before he picked Truman, he famously, you know, was dropped from the ticket and he was asked about it. He said, you know, the vice presidency is not worth a warm bucket of spit. Vice presidents are not the people who are leading an administration. Yes, she was part of it, but it certainly wasn't like her policies, right? She is going to have to answer for it. I was glad she did an interview. I thought she should have done one earlier. Mm-hmm. As far as how did it go, some people who are in the quote-unquote K-hive are going to say she was incredible. A lot of people on the right are going to say she was horrible. I agree with you, Mark. She was fine. She wasn't great. She was passable. There wasn't the one moment that the right wanted to say, what a huge gaffe. And there wasn't any like great triumphant moments either. It was okay. Mm-hmm. And she should be doing more of them because the more you build up and you don't do something, the more people pay attention when you finally do. So I think, you know.
And you get better.
And you
practice
get better.
Does tend to
I
make
I do give her credit
practice.
Because I didn't see her hand in the back of Tim Walz moving his mouth. So I was surprised by what the hell was his purpose there last night? Can anyone tell me that?
Well, I mean, they do it all the time. I mean, there isn't a single campaign where they don't sit with their vice presidential candidate and do an interview.
But the
I mean,
first
that's,
interview
yeah, not the
after...
first interview.
I mean,
though,
yeah, but it
you
doesn't
know.
Matter. That's not even relevant. I mean, so they did it. They did their deal. I
but
mean,
my
I'm,
point
I'm
is,
sort of
he,
like...
he didn't have a whole lot to say. Say
no.
Last night.
Yeah, I mean, she did 90% of the talking.
Right.
But for the people who were like, I mean, I don't think the pundits, the conservative pundits, do their side a service when they spend the weeks leading up to these things saying she's a low IQ individual, she's an idiot, because just,
no, she slept her way there. That's slept, my that's yeah, my personal
these,
favorite is calling
yeah,
her
all these other things
a triumph.
Because then the bar is so low that all she needs to do is like be decent, like she was last night, and. People don't get what they had kind of sold people that how bad she was going to be, which she wasn't. And she isn't. She's fine.
Well,
she's not the best speaker in the Democratic Party. Pete Buttigieg is a lot better, you know, doing media. Gavin Newsom is better doing media. There are Democrats who are better, but she's the nominee and she's a hell of a lot better than the alternative.
Here is my friend Scott Jennings' take on CNN last night.
So at the beginning, when she's talking about Biden and their record, our screen said, this is called the Chyron, the headline at the bottom. It said, Harris stands by Biden administration economic record. She is making it clear that she will embrace and be a continuation of Biden's economic policy, his record, what they've done. She offered no remorse, no regrets, no introspection about anything they've done. She continued to blame inflation on this fantasy price gouging idea. She had no additional thoughts on the economic situation in the country or what they've done. Beyond just saying, Joe Biden and I have done a great job. Now, if I were the Trump people, I would be salivating over the idea that that's how they are going to run the race. I don't believe it's tenable.
All right.
I also thought it was interesting.
Well, unfortunately, that's where we have our thing is skipping into the audio. Sue, if you wouldn't mind addressing that with our producers, if you have just a second there, because you know what I'm talking about. But I guess the point that Jennings was trying to make, and look, and I'll kind of back off from that just a little bit, Nick, just because I agree with everything he said there. But again, I don't know that it really matters at this point. And now there's probably not going to be another, you know, interview before this debate. The debate maybe looms large, but again, I don't know if you misunderestimate or underestimate. I like to say it like George W. Bush used to say it. If you underestimate her in that, because she could probably carry off, especially with the help of the ABC moderators, you know, a 90-minute debate or whatever it might be. So where is this race right now? We're approaching Labor Day. It's a little unconventional compared to past years because people are going to start voting next week. Right.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot of moderates out there that, you know, now that Kennedy's out of the race, I don't know what impact that's going to have. Now that he and others, Tulsi Gabbard, are backing Trump, I'm waiting for my favorite Democrat over here, Jane, to jump on the Trump train as well.
Yeah.
Any day now. But, you know, I think there's a lot of questions as to what policies is she going to implement. The current policies that we've heard of the price gouging and the money for first-time home buyers, we've already heard from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, that that's going to further decimate our economy. So I think a lot of people are waiting for this first debate, and hopefully there's going to be more than one.
So where exactly do you think she is on the policies? Because that they tried to bring that up last night, but she has flopped on so many of this. And Jane, right. We know that politicians do this, right? Even
yeah,
Jimmy
I mean,
Vance has changed his mind on she's moving on the center.
She's moving to the center.
In what
that's
way?
Not abnormal.
You
I mean, I do think that just like him, like abandoning abortion. I mean, I think that is more significant than anything she said.
But he's always had that policy. I mean, if you go back to the 80s,
the pro-lifers say he's the man. Oh, he delivered the Supreme Court to ban abortion.
Okay, but wait, in fairness
he
here,
flopped.
There was a lot of concern in 2016 from people on that side of the pro-lifers because they didn't think he would deliver on that. But he's never been as extreme as some of these other bills and measures in other states.
I mean, but paying for IVF, and I mean, he is not going to say what his position is on abortion.
I don't understand the controversy about IVF.
Neither
I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't get why that's even an
issue
for anybody.
That too.
Well, because there are some extreme people on the right that think that is Satan's spawn, and they've tried to ban it. So, I mean, I'm glad
that
he said it.
That is a small number.
I mean, I'm glad he said.
And it's
well, he said it because you guys are out there lying about it.
Oh, no. The IVF ban didn't come from the left, I can assure you.
Yeah, no. I mean, there are, both parties do this to each other. We pick out the elected officials on
the
far extreme of the other side. We hear them. They sponsor one piece of legislation. And then, most Democrats in the Missouri State Senate, and I don't know if you can find a single Democrat in the Missouri State Senate. I don't think you can who has ever said we've got to defund the police. But because Cori Bush, said it for years, the Missouri Democratic Party got tagged with that in the same way that happens with the Republican Party on IVF. So I think it's sort of a turnabout is fair
play.
Right.
Well, and this is where each party has to say that, the extremist kooks don't represent all of us. Because I'm just telling you, I saw some great quotes today. I think most people are in the 70% who don't like the extreme on either side.
I would agree with that.
And so far,
might be 80%.
And recently,
probably.
And I think, Jane, you would agree with this. And I think you guys would, too, if we're honest about it. Democrats are doing a decent job this cycle kind of policing our own fringe. Right.
Like, well, we have taken out some trash
for sure. Jamal Bowman in New York and Cori Bush here at home.
Yes.
And, having a convention where we said, no, we're not going to give a pro Hamas person a platform. We're going to have.
But if you go back and look at what Kamala Harris did, fundraising for people that were defunding the police and burning down cities across America, that's a concerning part to me is even though she may be trying to move to the center, history shows you where she's always been.
I think history shows you like a fair read of her kind of whole political career. I think shows you that the 2019 Kamala Harris was not the real Kamala Harris. She was running for president at a time that our party was moving left, especially on criminal justice issues. And she had been a prosecutor
was running from that.
And well, she Jane, was running from that. And I think where she is now is actually closer.
Well, Jane,
to where
and
you
I
know
think
that.
It's fair. And I think it's
I'm
fair
not willing to
say,
take that risk.
Hey, where are you? And I agree.
Well, Jane,
I think
court,
it's fair.
You see it all the time. You lied to me then or you lie to me now. Which one is it? Either way, you're a liar.
You got to be careful because when you become a chameleon,
and the only
it is
thing
a legitimate
that Trump has
concern.
Moved away from, the only thing, he's always been of that mindset where it's got to go back to the states. He's never supported a 6-week abortion ban. He probably wouldn't have supported our bill that we passed in 2019. But he used to be a Democrat. He used to be a Democrat at a time when there were pro-tax cuts, pro-gun, pro-labor. And now he's moving to the other side because the Democrats are going so far
they
left.
They both have done it. But I do think it's fair to criticize both to say, hey, which one is the real you? But I will tell you, I do think that when people get into executive positions and having worked, for a governor,
as the first woman chief of staff.
No, I was the first female general counsel.
First
and then
female
I was,
general
yes,
counsel.
But then I was chief of staff. But, you have to moderate if you think you're going to get a thing done. I mean, this realism coming, frankly, by both of them is probably more realistic. Donald Trump knows he can't do everything he wants to do in his crazy head because it's just not, you know, there is a reality here. Democracy is not absolute. And this idea that people are holding each other to these absolutes is kind of silly when it's all said and done.
I have a question for Nick and for Mark. I'm seeing a lot in my Twitter feed of like pro-life people that are really unhappy, you know, not just about his position, but kind of like rhetorically, he's really kind of borrowing a lot of the pro-choice frame and rhetoric about like women's reproductive rights, you know, that is really not kind of the lexicon of the pro-life movement. Do you think this is going to be consequential? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This fall.
I mean, are they going to leave?
And are you guys seeing that?
I think it's a rewind. I think it's a rewind back to 2016 when they tried this and we said, look, for me, I'm a 10th Amendment guy. I think it's a states' rights issue. And he delivered on that. He put individuals on the Supreme Court that believed it was a states' rights issue. And we kind of righted the wrong of Roe v. Wade by sending it back to the states. And I mean, he's come out saying, look, you're going to have states like Missouri and others that have banned abortion. You're going to have other states that go the opposite way. Leave it up to the states. That's what our founders intended.
But if your question is, will that manifest itself in any...
seeing that the way I'm seeing it with pro-life evangelicals online saying this is a bridge too far, what he's saying right
sure.
now sounding pro-choice.
I have seen some of those people say that this week on Twitter in reaction to this, but I think it's inconsequential, and I think that most people have moved on to a certain extent from that issue, and those who haven't have probably moved on in your direction. You know, they're leaning toward that direction.
I think Missouri has a very good chance of passing
this
amendment.
Of course it does. Yeah, well, and that's why
Republicans will vote for it.
I wish we could move forward and talk about other things
and solve it.
That's
thank you.
An issue that I've talked about for 4 decades, and quite honestly,
enough.
I'm pro-life, but good Lord, right? We got the Supreme Court making its decision. The state should handle it right now. We're coming back. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.